from the 9th chapter of the book of Isaiah, these familiar words: "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever." And then we turn over to the New Testament, if you will follow along in this, and we turn over to the Gospel of Luke and read again these amazing words, because almost everything that is said in these passages from the New Testament was said and predicted in the Old Testament. And when the angel came to Mary, he said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." And then we turn over to John's Gospel and read these few words about John's bearing witness to who Jesus really is. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." But, as we skip down to verse 12, "As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So let's bow before him and ask the Lord, the Holy Spirit, who inspired the writings of these, both Old and New Testament, to give us understanding of what it's all about. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have not left us alone with our speculations and our guesses and our limited understanding, but you have made it very plain that our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we love and in whom we trust for our salvation, is truly God the Son forever and ever. And we pray now that the Holy Spirit will open our minds to this understanding, and that it may become real and powerful in our lives, and that we may be good witnesses, even as Micah and Isaiah and Luke and John were good witnesses in their writings. May we be a good witness as in our lives and in our words that we speak. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we've been talking about the Christmas tree the last 4 weeks, and it's not that Christmas tree or yours at home. It's the family tree of Jesus Christ. And we have seen some marvelous things that God revealed in his word about the family tree of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the family tree according to his human nature. It began with Adam. It continued with Noah. And then, of course, there were women in the family tree, because the first promise that God made to fallen mankind was made to Eve when he said to her, "Your seed will crush the head of Satan's seed." And it was a mysterious thing because it didn't mention the fact that he would have an earthly father. It just addressed Eve with a promise that a woman one day would bear this Messiah who would come. And then we saw later on how that Moses fitted into this and Abraham fitted into this. And Abraham, the one who really acted out the story of our redemption by being willing to offer his son on the altar, and yet God intervened at the last split second and said, no, not him, that I will provide a lamb, as even as Abraham has said, God will provide a lamb. And so Isaac's life was spared, but that guaranteed that Jesus' life would not be, because he came to save the lost, of whom which we all are. And so we come now tonight to a different kind of a family tree, and this is the heavenly family of Jesus. And we read from Micah how that the little town of Bethlehem, and this was quoted to Herod by the wise men, would be the birthplace of the coming Messiah. Micah added strange words to that. His goings forth, he comes from Bethlehem, but his goings forth is forever, both in the past and in the future. And then there was Isaiah bearing witness to a child born, a son given, and yet calling him the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and the wonderful Counselor. And all of these are terms that refer only to God. In fact, you will not find in the Old Testament any reference to a deed of man that is called wonderful. And of course, we've translated this in our culture to awesome. But God is the only one who is wonderful and awesome. And yet, this child to be born would be the wonderful Counselor who would make known to us the full will of God for our salvation. Not only that, but he would be the everlasting Father. How do we understand that? Well, Jesus explained it when people were criticizing him and accusing him of blasphemy. He said, I and my Father are one. He didn't mean they had merged into one. He meant they were unified. They were of the same essence. They had the same purpose. They had the same goal in mind of restoring the lost creation to its beauty and wonder. And the Prince of Peace, certainly on our level, where we are individually, there is only one way to know peace, and that is to know the Lord Jesus Christ, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, as our Prince of Peace. And he restores peace between God and man. And if you trust him and really believe in him, he will give you the peace of God that passes understanding, because you will know that no matter what happens to you in this world, that you will live forever with God in heaven, and you'll be conformed to the person in the image of Christ. You'll be like him, and you will be glorious in his presence. And so we have the Old Testament witness and then the New Testament witness to Christ's heavenly genealogy was given first to the Virgin Mary. And when God sent his angel to announce to her, Hail, you are highly favored among women. And she wondered, what was this all about? And then he told her that she would bear a child who would be the Son of God. And she was filled with wonder and awe and said, how can this possibly be? For I'm a pure virgin. And yet the angel told her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And using the same language as in the first chapter of Genesis, when God sent the Spirit, hovered over the water, brought light out of darkness. So he said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And the child that will be born of you again will be the Son of God. So his human life began with that conception, but his life had gone on forever. And John talked about that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were created through the Word of God. And without him, nothing was created that was created. And then he said these amazing words, and the Word became flesh and lived among us. In other words, he came down to become our great high priest, who understands what it was like to be separated from loved ones, who understands what it was like to see best friends and family dying, who understands what it was like to be misunderstood all of his life and to be accused of things of which he was not guilty, just as many of you have. And so we find the New Testament tells us, along with the Old Testament, that Christ is the Son of God. That's his heavenly genealogy, his Father in heaven. And he came to do the Father's will. And so, though we look at wonder with the genealogy of Jesus, how that God brought together such a diverse background to the human Jesus, yet that did not change for a moment the fact that he always was, is, and shall be the Son of God. So you can trust him. You can commit your soul to him. You can ask him for mercy and forgiveness, and he will grant it. Not just that one time, but every day the Lord himself is with us with a special blessing for each hour. And so we challenge you tonight to believe this, that he was the Son of Man, yes, but he was also the Son of God from all eternity. And he is able and willing and powerful to take away your sin and to take away your hopelessness and give you the assurance that if you trust him, he will take you home to the Father. He will personally introduce you to the Father in whom you trusted. And he will claim you as his believer and as his brother and sister. What a glorious hope that is, to know that Jesus knows who we are because he is both the Son of Man and the Son of God. And so as we come to the conclusion of this service, it is the custom of this church to light the candles that you have received. And if you did not receive one when you came in, if you'll hold up your hand, the ushers will see that you get one. And what we're going to do is they're going to turn off the lights in a few moments, and I'm going to come down to one of these candles and light this candle and tell you that Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And also Jesus said, you are the light of the world.